Well, let's welcome back Coach Taylor. Coach, do you have team updates for us?
No, nothing earth-shattering. I think more importantly, you know, we have 13 seniors graduating on Saturday. Very excited about that. Very appreciative of the work that those young men did for us for the last 4 years. How they conducted themselves, you know, when I look at the list, you know, never had an off-field issue with any of those guys. So super, super excited for them. Excited to see what the next journey's and what their next journey's gonna look like. Obviously, it won't be with us, but you know they got the real game starting here, May 14th, man. So excited about that, and that's about it. So,
well, let's jump into fan questions then, and we'll start with Sean, who would like to know: is there anything that you expect to be significantly different about the offense this season with a new offensive coordinator in place?
Yeah. You know, our principles are going to be our principles, right? You know, we need to be able to run the football. We need to be able to take care of the football. We need to end every possession with a kick. You know, so those are the things, those are the principles that I live by from an offensive standpoint. So, you know, Coach Shelby coming in, fit in that box. You know, are there going to be some wrinkles? Yes. Have we changed a couple words, a couple tweaks in the pass and in the run game? Absolutely. You know, he and our offensive line coach have gotten on the same page as far as, you know, the schemes that we're running and how we're calling it. I'm excited there. You know, we'll be a year older, a year better up front. So we're going to have to lean on that running game because, you know, outside of Charlie Wilson, we're going to be young in the receiver room. So we have to bring some guys along. And the best way to do that is to hopefully, you know, we're running the football, so guys got to load the box up. And then, you know, you got some one-on-one matchups on the outside that can help some of our younger receivers out. So
Chris says, I know you will hate this question, Coach, but it does not look like you will have the same kind of depth at running back you have had the last few seasons. Mm-hmm. So do you see the Pipers going to the air more this season?
No, we'll be fine. We're bringing in four running backs. There's a young man that was on the roster last year who's 50-50 trying to figure out if he can come back. I'm excited about that situation. So stay tuned, Piper Nation, for that one. So we'll be fine. We'll be fine with the running back room. We have two on the roster right now. They had good springs, but you're right. We are, if you look at the roster, we're light as of 5/8, 2023. We're light, but August 9th, we won't be light in that role. You can't be. You're not in the MIAC, man. I always look at it. I'm not saying that we're the Big Ten, but when you're playing in the Big Ten or the SEC, you gotta have three. You know, so we'll have three serviceable, ready backs for the fall. So.
Thomas says, I don't think anyone asked you this over the last few weeks, but did anyone really impress you during spring training camp?
Yeah, you know what? There's a young man on our team, Sam Pachuta. The thing about Sam Pachuta, he's a young receiver, did not play much / at all last year from Cali. And the thing about him is the first day that kid stepped on campus, he was in his playbook. After practice, the first ever practice he has as a collegiate athlete, that guy stayed out after, ran sprints, ran routes on air. So I felt like we had something special with him as far as how he prepares. Brought that same preparation to the offseason, how he took care of his body, and it transferred over to him having a good spring. So I'd say Sam Pachuta on offense. And then defensively, two guys that really stuck out this spring was, Corey Zacharias, a linebacker out of Wisconsin, was getting our defense lined up and flying around, taking great angles. And then Juan Petard, you know, I thought he had a solid spring, was a freshman corner for us last year that, you know, quite frankly got picked on last year, you know, and had to learn on the job. And that's the part of it when you play, you know, that's why freshmen shouldn't be out there, but, you know, he was forced into it. And did a solid job at last year, but he got a lot better this spring. So those two guys, I'd say, had solid springs. So.
Next up, we have Drew, who says, Coach, I don't mean to jump too far ahead, but I saw that the 2024 schedule is appearing online already. Is that really the schedule that the team has for 2 years from now?
Oh, wow. You know what? Maybe I need to get back to you because I'd be lying to you if I told you what the 2024 schedule is. I know who the 2024 the non-conference, but I'm not sure if it changed in conference. I don't know.
Next up, we have Nadia, who has a couple of questions for you. The first she asks is, my question for Coach Taylor is, who would you coach for in the NFL if you had a chance?
Who would I coach for? Honestly, any one of those 32 teams I would coach for, it wouldn't. I mean, there's only a certain amount of jobs in the NFL. You know what I mean? Like, you think about this, how many quarterbacks can play in that league? You only got 32. You know what I mean? There's only 32 head coaches that are good enough to coach in that league. So to be an assistant coach in that league is a fraternity that a lot of guys will never get a chance to be a part of. So I'd be very foolish to sit here and say I would only want to coach for this team. I mean, everybody knows I'm an Eagles fan, but if the Washington Commanders or the Dallas Cowboys or the Giants opportunity came up and it was the right fit, I mean, obviously, yeah, you take that chance. But I mean, there's any one of those teams I would love to be with. But I'm a Hamlin Piper, so it's all good.
She'd also like to know, if you did get that opportunity, what would make you a good coach for that arena, and where do you think you would struggle or need to improve for that kind of career?
Yeah, no, I think in the NFL, there's a learning curve with anything, right? So not, you know, having a couple NFL internships is good, but, I mean, that was only for a couple weeks. You know, I think the learning curve would be, you know, commanding the room, you know, not playing the NFL, and then coaching in the NFL, I think there's something to be said about that. I think you have to earn those guys' trust and respect from what I've learned. Guys got to know that you can get them better, and guys need to know that you know what the hell you're talking about. You know, so I think that would just be, you know, just understanding schemes and what people are trying to, what the head coach / the coordinator is trying to get done and coaching with the NFL. That would be the biggest learning curve, I think, is just, you know, just being able to command the room as a guy that hasn't played in the league. And that's, you know, one of the things that, you know, Bill Belichick, you know, Mike Tomlin, I'm trying to think of some, Andy Reid, guys like that that didn't play in the league, but they have successful coaching careers, like that really, really, really is interesting to me. You know, we've got a guy like Tony Dungy or Herm Edwards. Those guys played in the league, so I can see them walking in the room right now and commanding the respect of that room. You know, Mike Vrabel, the guy now, I think it's Mike Vrabel, the guy at Tennessee, played in the league. Ron Rivera at Washington Commanders played in the league. You know, so I think when you – a certain level of respect that you get just from playing in the league, and then I think you have to earn a level of respect if you didn't play in the league. And there's a lot of good coaches that didn't play in the NFL but that do a good job. So,
next up we have Raymond, who says, Coach, there have been a lot of great eras in football history. I wonder which one you think you would have liked to have coached in the most.
Man, that's a trick question, because the way that coaches are getting paid right now, obviously you could say now, but football is different, man. Like, I grew up, you know, watching those early 1980 Eagles game, Eagles-Giants, Eagles-Cowboys, Eagles-Commanders. Like, the game was so different, man. Like, just how defense was played, the old San Francisco 49ers, the way that Ronnie Lott used to play, and the way the Raiders used to play, and the way the Purple People Eaters used to play. I don't know, man. I'd want to coach in the, you know, when the restrictions weren't as many as there are now, if that makes sense. The game was just different, man, a lot more physical. You know, it's really hard teaching tackling right now, because you got to keep the head out of it, which is smart. I'm not saying it's not smart, but it's just, you know, it's just a different game, you know. So it would have been interesting to see what it would have been like to be around those guys back in, I'd say, the 80s, early 90s.
Draymond would like to know, he says, I would think that you were most likely identified as a football coach when people meet you for the first time. If that is true, is that something you like?
You know, I that's a good question, because I try to always, you know, one, that's a good question, because I'm very conscious of meeting people for the first time and, you know, hey, I'm a football coach. Like, I like for people to, you know, let's get some layers about each other first. And if the question does come up, then they say, it's interesting when you talk to people and they don't know what you do, and you can hold a conversation. You can, you know, you can talk in depth about a lot of different topics. And then they, you know, hey, well, what do you do? Well, you know, I'm a football coach, you know. And sometimes early in my career, I used to always say, oh, well, I'm a professor. You know, so I used to always think of myself as a teacher, you know, because, you know, people make assumptions, oh, he's just a football coach. So, yeah, it's interesting that, you know, when it does come out, you know, because then now they're interested in, hey, well, what do? Do you just coach football and sit in the office for the rest of the year? Like, they don't even understand how much recruiting is going on during the season and after the season. Like, our jobs is recruiting and recruiting, retaining, and obviously developing our team. So, yeah, no, that's a fair question. So,
I just want to say I want to be identified as a person who knows Coach Taylor. So, then I'm okay with that. So next up is Andre, and it says, Coach, nice rebound victory against Boston in game four, but it was a close one. What are your thoughts for Tuesday?
Dre, what's going on, buddy? I don't know, man. I'll tell you this. All I know is we needed that game very bad. I think Boston let us off the hook a little bit, but we won it. And we got to go up and play. We got to play in Boston. We got to go up and play in Boston, back in Philly, and back in Boston, if I'm not mistaken. So we got to win one of the next two. You know, we have to win one of the next two. It'd be great to get this one up in Boston, but that's going to be tough, man. So we'll see. I'll be pulling for them Tuesday. You know, again, I'll get my schedule cleared off. So when I get out of here tomorrow, then I can be singly focused on the Sixers. Man. No working from home tomorrow. So.
Phil would like to know, he says, I know they always say that anything can happen in the playoffs, but does it surprise you to see Golden State and the Los Angeles Lakers advancing as they have?
No, absolutely not. I think we talked about this before. When you have superstars, i.e. LeBron James, i.e. Anthony Davis, i.e. Steph Curry, Klay gets hot, Draymond can get hot. I mean, when you have guys, man, like, no, absolutely not. I'm not surprised. Now, on paper, yeah, they were lower seeds. But when you got a superstars, I mean, primetime players, and a couple, you got two guys, LeBron James and Steph Curry, who arguably are on some people's Mount Rushmore, you know, the top four players in ever to play in the game. I've heard that argument that LeBron's up there, and if Steph can pull this thing out and get another ring, see, people are putting him up there. So, no, it does not surprise me. Absolutely not.
Our buddy Tyler returns, says, Darlington on Sunday, Coach. Hamlin looked great at Kansas, and I wonder if you see him winning back-to-back races.
Ooh, yeah, he did look good, man. That Toyotas always run good at Kansas. Darlington's a tricky one, man. I know they repaved it. That is a old-school racetrack right there, so it'll be interesting. The Toyotas, I think the Fords are going to run. I think Keselowski will run good down there. I think Truex, although I don't think he's not in the Ford, but I think Truex always has a good showing down there. And then Hamlin coming off of this track should be solid. So we'll see. Never count Kyle Busch out either, too. Kyle Busch he's always tricky down there. So
next up is Marie, who says, Coach, have you ever taken one of those personality tests like Myers-Briggs or identified what your love language is? If you have, would you care to share with us?
Oh, man, no. No, definitely not the love language one. I've never heard of that one. I have not done that. I know we did a personality test at a previous job. I cannot remember what my numbers are or what the results were. So, no, that's a fair question. I wish I had more information for you, but I don't. I'm sorry.
Zach would like to know, are you liking that the new King of England is a fellow Charles?
Charles, yeah, the King of England. I think, first of all, Charles is a strong name. So I think anytime you got a Charles. I think at some point, I looked at the roster last year. We had like four or five Charleses on our roster last year. I thought that was pretty cool. So, no, I don't follow much. Hopefully he does a good job in whatever his role is. But I always do gravitate towards the Charleses, man. So good for him.
And let's finish out with Coach Taylor's words of wisdom for this week.
Words of wisdom. I guess I would say this, you know, that this kind of always falls back into sometimes I'm talking to my son about certain things. And I told him this the other day. I said, believe what you see from people and ignore what you hear. You know, just believe what you see, ignore what you hear, man. People are going to show you, man. You can watch people's behaviors and you'll see exactly who they are, man. So those are the words of wisdom.
Loving that. Coach Taylor, thanks for joining us this week.
All right. Thanks for listening.